This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. The Paris 2024 Summer Paralympic Games started this week and continue through Sunday, September 8th. The world will be watching Team USA athletes in all kinds of sports, including paracycling, paraswimming, and wheelchair basketball, where the U.S. team has won gold medals in the last two Paralympic Games. Joining me in this recorded interview to talk about what it takes to train for the Paralympics and compete at such an elite level are U.S. Paralympian for the 2008 wheelchair basketball team, Jacob Counts. Welcome, Jacob.
Thank you.
We appreciate your being here. And Cincinnati Tennis Foundation lead coach and mentor for wheelchair and adaptive tennis, Zach Sikora. Thanks for being here, Zach.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Jacob, you played on the 2008 U.S. Paralympics wheelchair basketball team, as I mentioned. Tell me about how you started playing wheelchair basketball.
I actually started playing wheelchair basketball when I was 19 with a local team from Cincinnati Recreation Commission called the Cincinnati Slammers. There's a little bit of a gap, though. I became disabled when I was 13. So I kind of had that six-year gap where I missed out on sports. But I was also super fortunate to have like a good community team in Cincinnati to kind of show me the ropes.
Talk to us about the training it took to get to the Paralympics. It seems like quite a leap to go from playing for a community team to representing the U.S.
Yeah, absolutely. I coach a lot of young people now, and it's all about getting to different levels. You know, when I first started off at that community level, you know, it took a different level of dedication to kind of master that level. And then when I went to play collegiate wheelchair basketball, you know, it took a higher level of work to kind of succeed at that level. And then finally with like the U.S. national team level, it takes a lot of dedication. It pretty much ends up becoming a full-time job. But I feel like the rewards are there, and it's, you know, it's a very enriching way to pursue athletics.
And what's it like to compete for the U.S.? I'm hoping you can describe kind of the crowds, the intensity, the pressure.
It's awesome. It's like nothing that I had experienced previously to that, especially in the 08 games in Beijing, really big crowds, really, really intense crowds. It was super fun. And it was also definitely challenging. I think a lot of athletes, when they get to that level for the first time, it takes a little adjusting. And that's kind of where you hope to rely on your teammates and your training so that you can perform at your best.
Zach, you were the number one junior wheelchair tennis player in the U.S. How did you get involved in wheelchair tennis, and what kind of training did it take to achieve that ranking?
Yeah, so I started playing tennis at 12. One of my friends, who is also in a wheelchair, invited me to this camp with my coach growing up. Her name was Margaret Ferris. And around 14, maybe 13, she noticed the skill levels of my friend Ashwin and I, and said, hey, we need to get your ranking up, and you need to start traveling around the U.S. to do that. So I was super fortunate that while I think both of our parents were kind of occupied with work and other things, Margaret was able to take us to various tennis tournaments where, of course, we competed at a pretty high level. I was able to get my rank up to that point. And I went to two Le Petit As tournaments, which is a French tournament where there were able-bodied kids there, and there were also wheelchair kids there that competed, the best in the world. And then I went to three World Team Cups. And the World Team Cup is, I almost describe it as like an annual Paralympics, if you will. The best of the best go there to compete, juniors and adults. They compete against the best in the world. There's an opening ceremony. It's a great time. So what it took to get there is dedication. So, you know, I remember one time when I went to the World Team Cup in Poland, I missed my high school graduation. So it's things like that. I was playing 5 to 6 days a week for 2 to 3 hours at the minimum. I was trying to play with everybody and anybody that I could. There wasn't like a lot of wheelchair tennis there, let's say. And so, or the those in wheelchairs weren't able to play with me. And so I played on my high school able-bodied team. And I also played with a whole bunch of other able-bodied tennis players as well.
Zach, was wheelchair tennis a Paralympic sport when you were competing? I think it was first part of the Paralympic Games in Barcelona in 1992.
I was competing probably from the late 1990s, competing. I was playing a little bit earlier than that, from the late 1990s through the early 2000s.
Was that a goal of yours to play in the Paralympics?
Yeah, it absolutely was. There's actually, and Jake probably knows this person too. There's a guy by the name of Steve Welsh, and he played wheelchair tennis in the Paralympics and wheelchair basketball in the Paralympics. And I started basketball when I was 15, and I had aspirations to do both for a little bit. Adulthood happened. I wanted to pursue my career instead of doing tennis. So I stopped playing that for a little bit, and more or less switch goals.
We're talking in this recorded interview about the Paralympic Games happening in Paris and what it takes to become a Paralympic athlete. I want to ask both of you this. What are some of the most common misperceptions people have about athletes who use wheelchairs when they're competing? I'll start with you, Jacob. Are there misconceptions that you've found yourself trying to clear up over and over?
I think one of the largest misconceptions is that every athlete that competes in a wheelchair uses a wheelchair for everyday mobility. You know, with our local high school wheelchair basketball team, the Dragons, a lot of times I talk to young people that maybe have a disability that allows them to walk all day. And to them, it seems like an odd thing to hop in a wheelchair to compete. But a lot of athletes that use different forms of wheelchairs to compete, you know, they're using a specialized piece of equipment so that they can play on an even playing field with their peers. So you'll have a lot of amputees that might walk, for example, or different disabilities like that. So that's a pretty common misconception. You know, when I was younger, I walked on prosthetics pretty much every day. And sometimes people would be a little taken aback that I was playing wheelchair basketball.
Yeah. Zach, what about you? Are there misconceptions that you find yourself trying to clear up for people?
Yeah, so I think what comes to mind are two. One, there's Special Olympics, and then there's Paralympics, right? So Paralympics are for the physically disabled. Special Olympics are for the mentally disabled, if you will. And so I think that's a common misconception. And then the other one that kind of ties into that is, these are athletes in the Paralympics who train just as hard as able-bodied athletes, right? And so a lot of people more or less look down on wheelchair sports and think it's just not as competitive, or it's less than. And that's obviously a misconception that I think is changing year over year.
That's such a good point. You know, Zach, I know you coach now. Jacob, you coach locally. Do the young people you coach, do they want to be seen as athletes, not athletes who use wheelchairs? Is that...
Yeah, I think a lot of, man, especially my high school kids, I mean, whether, you know, no matter how you want to see them, you almost have to see them as athletes. I mean, a bunch of them are, you know, in the gym constantly. You know, they look like athletes. They kind of have that, you know, like athlete swagger when you see them around. But I think a lot of my kids want to be seen as athletes, and I think it's hard not to be honest with you. Like, once you see that transformation from like their early elementary days to by the time they get into high school, they look pretty much like any other high school athlete you're going to see, except maybe they, you know, have some type of disability that that really, as they develop as a player, I feel like becomes more of a detail about them. And the main thing about them is more that they're an athlete. And that's really, really rewarding when you see that kind of transformation take place. And you also see, you know, their peers' perception start to change.
I know that swagger. It's exactly what I didn't have in high school. So Zach, what do you think? Is that what you encounter with the young people you coach?
Yeah, I absolutely. They definitely have a swagger to them. One of my favorite things, and Jake actually does this with various schools, is inviting one of their able-bodied friends who may be also, so again, I coach wheelchair tennis. So if they invite one of their able-bodied friends to, who's also good at able-bodied tennis to sit in a wheelchair and compete with them, they find a new appreciation for what it takes to maneuver in a wheelchair and hold a racket and hit a ball and all that. So, I think wheelchair sports in general, especially for me and a lot of the kids that I coach, it just gives you a level of confidence that you wouldn't necessarily get in other places. And that helps out in not only in the sport that they play, but everywhere else in life too.
When you're training, I'm wondering, I'll start with you, Jacob, are there different things you have to really pay attention to in terms of your health, how your body reacts when you're training or during a competition?
I would say one of the biggest differences is just a different variety of overuse injuries for someone who's going to be playing a wheelchair sport. I know our team physio, Melinda Ernst, is always getting on us about just like different maintenance routines for rotator cuffs and elbows. So there's a different style of training in terms of like preventative stuff, but a lot of the cardio and strength and conditioning is pretty similar, but sports specific.
What do you think, Zach?
Yeah, I echo everything that Jake says. I mean, from a cardio standpoint, you're using your arms a lot, and I don't know that our bodies are meant to use our arms as much as they are. So there's the, a lot of shoulder injuries and stuff like that happen that maybe you wouldn't find in able-bodied sports as much.
Jacob, you, as I mentioned, you've been coaching, you've been focused on coaching, I think, for about the last 10 years or so. How much interest are you seeing in the sport that you're coaching?
It's really in the greater Cincinnati area. It's been awesome, the growth of adaptive sports. I coach the Cincinnati Dragons, which are a high school and elementary age wheelchair basketball team. Zach has an amazing tennis program going on. We just recently started UC Adaptive Athletics, partnering with some of the club sports on campus. So it's really grown quite a bit, really, from the time when I was a kid where there weren't many opportunities for kids that are growing up with disabilities to play sports. Now there's all kinds of opportunities, especially in our area. And one thing I think is important for people to hear, a lot of times we see Paralympians and we see these elite athletes, and a kid or an individual with a disability might be looking at that like, man, I can't do that. And these sports are for all levels. You don't have to be the elite of the elite to get out and enjoy wheelchair basketball or to enjoy tennis or compete in track and field. So really, there's never a bad place to start. And Zach and I are working with elite high school kids, but we're also working with kids that just want to play sports in school and be part of something and have fun and develop skills in a sport. So it's really across the board. I know when I was young and first started thinking about playing wheelchair basketball, I'd see like this amazing basketball player and be like, I couldn't do that. But really, every journey starts somewhere.
And Zach, you coach wheelchair and adaptive tennis. Are you seeing increasing interest there?
Yeah, it's growing more and more. One of the questions that I had when I first started playing was, wait, how do you play a tennis in a wheelchair? How do you push the racket and stuff like that? So even individuals who use wheelchairs have those questions today. So I think it's really about breaking down that stereotype and showing them that they can play.
So much of being an athlete is mental discipline. How do you approach that in coaching, Zach?
Great question. So there's a bunch of different skills that you can utilize. I've got one story that kind of exemplifies that. I had two athletes who were playing doubles together. And one of them wasn't doing as good as he wanted. And so his mental state just kept going down and down and down, right? And so I paused the game. We were just practicing, right? So I paused the game and I pulled them both over. I said, hey, So I asked the kid who was mentally okay. I was like, "Hey, so how is your partner doing right now?" And he goes, "Not good." And this was one of the younger kids compared to the kid that was in a poorer mental state, let's say. And I said, "Okay, so what can you do to boost his spirit?" And then I looked at the older kid who had the poor mental state. I said, "So and you, how can you be a leader and show everybody that you can get out of this mental state?" So I turned around and like literally 30 seconds later, they're goofing off. And I asked them later, I said, "So what did you say? What did you say that boosted your partner?" And he goes, "I just told him a corny joke. It's what is an amputee's favorite restaurant?" And I was like, "What?" And he says, "IHOP."
Oh my God.
So now anytime we get in a bad mood, it's just an inside joke. We just yell, "IHOP."
Oh Lord. Jacob, how about you? What do you do to kind of help your young people that you're coaching kind of get that mental discipline that they need in sports?
I think one of the advantages, like Zach and I have now, and I see it both doing it a lot when we coach. Is we're able to talk to young people about like what they're thinking about and what they're feeling. And I feel like they're a lot more just in tune with that, and they're kind of more comfortable with that language than maybe we were, 20 years ago. So a lot of times it's just talking to kids about like what's your state of mind right now, and what does it have to be for you to be in like your best state of flow? Where some people, they might need to be a little angry and aggressive when they play. Other people might need to be a little bit more relaxed and joking. So a lot of it is just kind of being able to have those open, frank conversations with your athletes about what's going through their head, and then kind of figuring out what's going to be the mindset that's going to let you achieve your goals, and then also, make sure you're being a good teammate and you're representing yourself the way you want at the same time. And I feel like that really helps. This generation's a little easier to talk to about the mental side of the game than I think previous generations probably were.
Much more in tune to all that. Jacob, will you be watching the Paralympics? What's your favorite part of the Paralympic Games?
I am super excited about the Paralympics. I got a chance last summer to be with our USA women's wheelchair basketball team with a under 25 developmental team, and they won a gold medal. And there's three players that I want people to watch out for. But Bailey Moody and Abby Balakey and Exalt Gonzalez, they're all super young USA players, but have already had like a Paralympic under their belt. And I'm looking that's probably what I have my eye on the most. Our women's wheelchair basketball national team, I think they're in a really good position to take back the gold medal this year.
What about you, Zach? What'll you be watching?
Yeah, I definitely want to watch some tennis, perhaps some basketball too. I've actually got some a wheelchair basketball buddy that's coming in town ne next weekend, and we're gonna have like a watch party. We're gonna go to a watch party, so that should be a lot of fun. Honestly, like I'm down to watch whatever. Of course, tennis and basketball, because they're near and dear to my heart, right? But any sport really is awesome. And one other thing that I just want to say real quick about that is, I think from when Jake was in the Paralympics to now, there's a lot's changed, right? Like, you don't necessarily need these huge cameras to come out and vi video the Paralympics, right? Anybody that's there can video the Paralympics on their phone, right? And so access to social media and stuff like that has really opened up the possibilities of what to watch, and also even when to watch. If you can't watch it live, you can go back and watch it later. So I'm truly grateful for that opportunity as well.
And I believe the apps we all use to watch the Olympics, those same streaming platforms, I believe will have the Paralympics on as well. So it's going to be good. Watch some you know, watch some wheelchair basketball, watch some tennis. Wheelchair rugby is another amazing sport. We have a Cincinnati representative, Zach and I's trainer for our programs, Melinda Ernest, is the rugby team's physio. So there's plenty of cool stuff to watch and some interesting Cincinnati connections out there as well.
Do you think the Paralympics get the attention and viewership that the Olympic Games do? I mean, people will be able to watch them, but what do you think? Do they get the attention they need? Should they be getting more attention?
I'm really excited for these games. I feel like some of the accessibility of us being able to watch the Olympics on our phone, and this last Olympic game, I think more than any other I can remember. You know, we're all kind of having casual conversations about this event or that event, and to have the Paralympics available in the same way, I think this will be probably one of the years where the Paralympics can be on par with the Olympics. And it's something we've been working to for a really long time. And I think this year we're poised to make some pretty significant progress in that regard.
There's definitely a lot more excitement, it feels like, this go around than years past. And that's super exciting. I think one of the examples that I think about is, you know, before I started playing tennis, I didn't really enjoy watching tennis very much because I didn't really appreciate what all had to happen to actually play, you know? And so I'd see a good shot and I wouldn't necessarily think anything of it. Now, trying that shot myself, I can appreciate that. So I also think it's really fun to get able-bodied athletes, to get able-bodied coaches in wheelchairs to play these sports so that they can appreciate it. And when they're watching it, they can really be like, wow, that's incredible.
Well, I've been talking with U.S. Paralympian for the 2008 wheelchair basketball team, Jacob Counts, and Cincinnati Tennis Foundation lead coach and mentor for wheelchair and adaptive tennis, Zach Sikora. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
I appreciate you guys having us. Enjoy the Paralympics.
Yes.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Asiya Johnson. Technical director is Marshall Verbsky. Rob Fetters composed our theme music. I'm Lucy May. Thanks for listening.